whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
All right, it's Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. Thanks for rolling with us. We are tracking the Ezekiel Elliott situation. It's kind of like the Santa tracker around Christmas time. That plane, KT, you're hearing is coming in from Cabo in the 5 o'clock hour.
Yeah, I was told they'd be arriving at 5:30-ish.
And much like the Santa tracker, when they fly over Dallas, Zeke is going to parachute out into a Salvation Army kettle.
I heard.
Just land right into that kettle.
From another source, a second independent source now, letting me know that there will be a Zeke press conference tomorrow, that it's planned. Although I did have somebody tell me that there's still a little bit further to go. So maybe it's just a little bit further to go as they've just got to get the pen to paper and do a physical, and it's a formality. But everything we're hearing is that they've agreed to terms. So we'll let you know the minute that anything else pops or breaks with regard to the Ezekiel Elliott contract situation. But right now it's time for this.
In the front office are always hard. Come talking that trash and they'll pull your card. Knowing nothing in life but to be legit. Don't quote me, Skin, I ain't said spit.
The John Daniels Show is brought to you by Evan Williams Bourbon and BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Joining us now is the GM of the Texas Rangers, John Daniels. How you doing today, JD?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Hey, we're doing great. And obviously, big night for you guys last night as you looked fantastic. Your ace was on the mound and another just beautiful outing from him. I think some of the Yankees were describing Minor to be, quote, nasty as you guys shut out the Yankees. What can you tell us about what you saw from Mike Minor yesterday?
He was really good from the get-go. Trying to find his rhythm in the first inning, and then after that, just kind of cruised. I mean, Trevino caught him yesterday, but I remember Mathis said something early in the season where he was like, you know, when he has all four pitches working, you know, the hitters can't sit on anything. They're all pluses. And when he's got his command of all four, he's, you know, as good as anybody. And that's kind of what it looked like last night was, yeah, there was one swing in particular, Aaron Judge, and it was 0-0 or 1-0 pitch where he threw him a changeup away. And, you know, Judge, you know, it just came out of his shoes thinking it was a fastball. And you just don't see hitters like that look like that too often. So that kind of spoke a lot about how good his stuff was yesterday.
Yeah, and it was really nice because I unfortunately had to spend my Sunday with a Yankee fan and he was all drunk off them winning 90 games and talking trash. And so that was a really nice win. And, of course, the offense was there as well. And the offense could get a boost. What is the status of Joey heading back here sometime soon?
I'm not 100% sure on a date. You know, the hand's healthy. It's more of a comfort deal for him. And really nobody can say that except for Joey. So, you know, it's one of those deals where the bone doesn't have to heal. The bone's actually just removed. But they have to cut through some soft tissue to get to it. And then there's some scar tissue builds up, and he's got to feel comfortable with that. So, you know, Delino came back extremely fast from it, but he didn't have his hand strength for a while, and I think Joey's, reticent to do the same thing. I think he wants to feel a little bit closer to 100% before he really starts getting going.
Another awesome night out at the ballpark for the Legacy program, and you guys have really emphasized that and really paying tribute to so many of the people that have helped this ball club be great for a long, long time. And in particular, the era of the guys who went to back-to-back trips to the World Series. What was your take on the festivities?
For Michael's night the other day?
Yeah.
On Saturday? Man, that was awesome. I was chatting with Evan Grant about it recently. And like, I mean, it was as well done top to bottom as it could have been. And then you think about, you know, there was actually, some other guests couldn't make it because of the weather. But I think it could have even been better. I thought Michael's speech was like, you know, like a clinic and how to, you know, say thank you and then also express his, like, true feelings about the fan base, the organization, people that have helped him. I think everybody was engaged the whole time. It was just really well done. And, the fans always kind of, you know, step up and acknowledge these guys when they come in. But there was something unique about Michael walking in from right field and just the kind of the tenor of the fans, the response that they gave him walking across the outfield was awesome and really well deserved.
How did the whole Wash thing come together? How long did it? You know, I know that there takes a lot of planning for something like this, but it's pretty special that Atlanta lets him leave to come be a part of this. How did that all come together? And what did Michael do when he first found out? How did he first find out?
Well, I think Michael found out sitting there on the field. He didn't know. John Blake did a great idea to kind of get Wash in for that. And then, sorry, I'm just getting dropped off here at Yankee Stadium.
Is it a cabbie?
Yeah, exactly. It was John's idea. John reached out to Atlanta, and they were extremely gracious to let him go and miss a game. Alex and their whole organization, Brian Snitker, that was really cool of them. And so Wash, you know, he did the voiceover for that video, but Michael didn't know. We kind of kept it a secret. In fact, while Michael was kind of, getting ready for the whole thing, Wash was kind of ushered in through the back, and he hung out in the owner's bunker. And so it was cool while Wash was in there. Woody came down, hung out with him for a while, and then just one by one, kind of everybody that had been here, for the last while, kind of came through, and just like the reactions and the hugs, and Wash was classic Wash, telling like some hysterical stories and had everybody rolling, and it was cool, man. It was really cool to see the fans respond the way they did. I mean, the place came down when he got announced. It was cool.
You know, why do you think, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I know I believe in it. I think legacy program is incredibly important, and you guys embracing these players that have been so great here for these fans. It's not a long history here for the Rangers compared to a lot of other organizations, but why do you think it's important for you guys to shine a light on some of the greatness that's happened here?
I think we're establishing a tradition, right? I mean, if you're the Yankees or you're the Dodgers and you have Reggie Jackson or Sandy Koufax hanging around, I mean, that's awesome. But we're establishing that now, our best teams, our best players, the way that we go about it. And I think to have that connection for the fans, but also for the next wave of players coming up and coming through and have these guys connected, it's big. I mean, Kiner Falefa and then Trevino and these guys, Jose was a Rangers fan, grew up in Texas, but for the most part, a lot of these young guys, they didn't really even know who they are, and yet being around them and seeing the highlights and kind of having an appreciation for what these guys have done, I think it's meaningful for their development, for the next stage, especially even right now where, we might not have the Adrian or the Michael, the kind of the established leader in the clubhouse, to have these guys around separately. It's not the traditional way of having a player lead, but there's still big value there.
Talking to John Daniels here on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan. How far in advance do you guys have the next steps of that already planned? I mean, you're going to be opening a new stadium, obviously, next year. There's going to be a lot of excitement around that, but do we already know, or you guys rather know internally, what the next stages of that program entails?
As far as who might be up for the Hall of Fame and things like that?
Yeah, just things of that nature. I mean, obviously the Hall of Fame is different than a jersey retirement or different types of honoring.
Yeah, it's something that we definitely talk about it. Just as far, and even more so now with, closing out this ballpark. So we'll have things the last week with the all-time team for the ballpark, and then obviously opening the new park, not just honoring individuals, but how do we display some of these things in the park. And so that's been a lot this year going on, of not just thinking about how we do it, but watching how other teams have done it. And, it's interesting. We were in Milwaukee. They inducted some people that they've got three different levels. They've got the number retirement, the Hall of Fame, and then they've got a, I don't know what they call it, a wall of honor or something like that. And it makes sense because there's so many people that have played a big role. But you want to, you want to honor them in appropriate ways.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sitting here, my mind's racing, and you get into all this nuance where you're like, okay, was this guy? He had a great career. He was only with the Rangers for a little bit. So how do you honor that? Oh, but it was the most important years for the Rangers. And yeah, it's interesting thinking about some of those names. Let's talk about some of the younger guys who maybe would hope to reach those honors way later in their careers or at the end of their careers. And let's talk about Nick Solak. Tell us what you've seen from him that has impressed you, or even things that have surprised even you as to how talented he is.
he just seems like one of these guys that's not fazed by a whole lot. I think that helps going to, you know, a big-time program there at Louisville. You know, played with McKay and played with a number of other, like, high-profile players and been a good conference. And so I think then he comes in and he's hitting, you know, five-hole or four-hole, or he's asked to play third base with really no experience there. And it's things that might phase guys that hadn't had that kind of exposure or that mindset, like, that's been one thing that stood out. I think we knew we could hit. We knew we had a feel for the bat. But the fact that he's been so, like, unfazed by just the circumstances, that's been pretty neat to see and really encouraging going forward.
And now I want to talk about Ronald being back. He had a late RBI, which was nice to see, and he's had a rough go of it this year. And I know when he first went down, he struggled, but then really seemed to turn it around. What has been the development of Ronald to where he's now back with the club as you guys expand the roster and got a little bit of burn in the last day or two?
Yeah, so you know, he was working on some things with our hitting coaches that he was able to take down the AAA and execute, and that was big. But I think even more than that, just like his ability to kind of like reset mentally. You know, I mean, I looked up last night and during the game, and Yankees, you know, they have the player's stats up on the board, and he's hitting whatever it is, 180 or something like that. And you know, like, that's not him. He's not a guy who should hit like that. And I think for him to go down and be able to kind of clear his mind, have some success again, put some of the changes into play, as much as, like, even the changes themselves, I think his ability to just kind of clear his head, get his confidence back, and come back up and contribute is really important.
All right, so you're at Yankee Stadium right now, and obviously coming from the East Coast originally, I feel like we've transitioned you and changed you into a Texan. You know, you know about that lake life and all that now, but are you still a guy that has, like, good go-to spots for your friends and family who go to New York and they ask you for references and stuff? Do you know the places to go?
No, man. I'm kind of useless. I haven't lived here full-time since I was 18. You know, I left for college. And I came back a lot, and I'm comfortable here. I know, like, a good, like, pizza place and bagel spot in my old neighborhood. But other than that, I'm, like, kind of useless for going out and stuff. I'm totally useless.
So what was the low point for your swag? Let's talk about between after the age of 18 and you leave New York. When, at what point did your swag hit an all-time low?
I feel like every moment is like the next. It's the new all-time. It is like a straight downhill. And at an unbelievably quick pace also.
Oh, man.
I thought I'd hit, like, the low point, like, every day, and then the next day, it's like, I got, like, the dad bod going, I got, like bad uni, bad club. I don't know what's going on, man. And if you guys have any advice, I'm all ears.
No, we have no advice in this regard. We're on a downward trajectory as well.
You have way more swag than us. hey, man, thanks for taking the time to join us, and we'll visit with you soon.
All right, guys. Thanks.
All right, there he goes, John Daniels, the general manager of the Texas Rangers.
See you, John.
He's already gone.
That was pretty good what KT added.
Guys, coming up next, let's get into all the big news of the day. If you've missed it, there's lots of speculation about what's going on with Zeke. Is he on a plane? Is there a press conference tomorrow? Do we have a tentative agreement to a deal? Will he play against the Giants? All that coming up next on the Ben and Skin Show, 105.3 The Fan.